You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 61 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP. Junior Vice President.
Happy birthday to the little dog, Greg Rosenthal. Get along, little doggy. Get along, get along.
That's right. It is my 41st birthday coming up.
Joining the 41 Club in a couple hours. We premiere this late Tuesday night. Most people get it Wednesday morning, so it'll be your birthday. Wednesday's your birthday.
That's right. Of course, that's the beautiful voice of Anthony Jeselnik, world-famous comedian. I'm Greg Rosenthal, work at NFL Network. We've been friends a long time.
Over 20 years now.
And you're a little low energy tonight. You're sick.
I'm a little under the weather. There's nothing more annoying than being sober and getting sick. Like when you're drinking and smoking pot and you get sick, you're like, okay, I deserve this. And then it's kind of like, how do I can't drink for a little while. I can't smoke pot for a little while. Like, what do I do? This is just annoying. It hit me all Sunday. I think it's like the dry weather, like the dry air. Honestly, I just have like a sore throat and like super low energy that I need to sleep, but I've been ticked that I have to deal with this. I get sick like once every couple of years, but I think it honestly, I've been so healthy lately. I think it's karma for all the times I've canceled things claiming I was sick and that now it's all coming back to haunt me. But
you have to cancel a dinner tonight with a world famous figure.
One of my favorite authors, we were going to have dinner tonight and I had to cancel. He understood. He said he was laid up for like a month with the flu. That everyone's sick right now. Like everyone.
Your goddaughter has the exact same sort of sickness. Incredibly low energy. Half of her class is out right now. So maybe you're somehow sent her cosmically the same virus.
I don't think that's how viruses work. I don't even know it's a virus. Like it really is just a sore throat and like low energy. No head cold, no fever, nothing in my chest. Like it's just my throat sucks.
For comedy.
I think I haven't done stand up since Largo last week, which you guys both came to.
It was awesome.
Yeah, you guys had fun. Got to see, you got to meet LP from Run the Jewels, which was a big thrill for me. I was excited to finally meet him. Got to talk to him a little while after you guys left. And it was just like talking to someone going through severe nicotine withdrawal, which he was doing. But I got to hear some cool stories and hang out with them a little bit.
Run the Jewels 4 coming out.
Mm-hmm. They're finished. It'll be out in a few months. But I'm very excited to get to finally meet him in person. We talked a few times on the internet. But it's always nice to meet someone in person. His wife is a funny comedian from New York. Was a part of the show with a couple other guests. Do you have a favorite, Erica, of the people you saw?
I mean, I love Lisa Traeger.
Lisa Traeger
awesome.
Was killed, I think, harder than anyone that night, including me.
Oh, definitely.
I had a good set. I enjoyed some of the new stuff I had. I remember Emily Panic, one of the comics there, was like, were you happy with your set? And I just said very quickly, no. Which made her laugh very hard. It was good, but it's not up to the level I want it to be. I did almost half an hour.
Why weren't you happy with it?
I think I've got some great stuff and then some B stuff, to be honest. Like it gets a laugh, but it's not the huge laugh. And I think it's a little repetitive. Some of the lesser jokes are repetitive of stuff I've done before that I haven't kind of made that evolutionary leap that I like to make in between specials. And it's just part of the process. It's not something I'm like, oh, I'm doing wrong. It's just you got to keep writing and keep
Yeah, you had one joke which did fine or whatever, but immediately after you said it, you're just like, okay, that one's done. Like
yeah.
if it doesn't kill here, it's not going to
Yeah, it's a like happen. There are some jokes that I'm like, I don't know about this one, but they keep on getting big laughs. And once it doesn't, I'm like, I'm happy to get rid of it and just take it out of the pile. But there was only one joke. And
yeah,
I had a bunch of new stuff that I like that I'm like, oh, I can keep on going with this. So I have one more Largo show. It's already almost sold out next month in the month of March. And then I'll take the summer off Largo. And just write and, keep getting up at the Comedy Store. And best case scenario, I go on tour in the fall. But I think I'm looking at early 2021 to start heading back on the road with new stuff. But I'm excited about where I am at this point, but not happy. But if I was happy, I wouldn't be as good at what I do.
Mm.
But it was fun. Largo was always a great time. And it was fun to have you guys there backstage. Fun to have Emeka come out and and see some live comedy. I know she doesn't get to laugh much in your household. that was fun. How was Greg? How was your Valentine's Day? You told me you did a smart thing where I asked what you guys were doing for Valentine's Day, and you were not doing anything on Friday, but you were going to go out on Saturday night, which I think is very smart. How was
yes,
that?
That was great. Went to K-Town, which although we usually have more of a plan, and we tried to like mix it up and freewheel it. That didn't work out as well, but in the end, it was good. We ended up going out on Friday night because we last minute were got our kids into some crazy thing they do at their preschool / church, where like this youth group or the church group was watching your kids for 3 hours so you could go out on Valentine's Day. So we just went local, Santa Monica. You know, that a lot of date nights.
Where'd you go? Where'd you go in Santa Monica? Just to dinner?
Yeah. Like a little pasta place.
Nice.
Three times in 4 nights though we went out. So for us, that's big. It was our first, I was thinking it was our first weekend at home, you know, just like the whole weekend, and there's no football or anything because that's when I would be work at Sunday since before Clusterfest, which was last June. So that's a pretty like long stretch of like our, you know, the family did not, you know, have a big weekend together. So we went wholesome. We went mega wholesome and we had a good time.
That sounds good. I was so happy to just stay on Valentine's Day, not do anything, not have any responsibility. It was, and it's not like this is the first Valentine's Day I've been single, but I just really enjoyed this one. And I was like, it's so nice to have no responsibilities whatsoever and just have a whole weekend to myself. And then on Sunday, my dad texted me and was like, you know, it's your mom's birthday today, right? And I was like, yep. Yep.
But did you, did he do any? I mean, I guess at that point, what you just
I had already last week. I talked to her that night, and I send her a check for Mother's Day, her birthday, and Christmas every year for a substantial sum, so that she can spend it on Anthropology. That's all she likes. I think I've talked about this many times.
Yeah.
She just wants an Anthropology gift certificate, but getting a gift certificate through Anthropology is like. It's like trying to take a kidney from someone who's running away from you. So I just I sent her a check, and you know that was fun, and then hung out all weekend. Went out Friday night or Saturday night with a friend. Did a little shopping, ran some errands, and then had dinner. And then last night I went to go see a classic movie. There's this private club I belong to that opened up a little over a year ago.
Humble Brag.
And they have a not really. I should belong to private clubs. And they have a screening room, this like beautiful screening room. It's like 35 seats. Everything's like these like giant chairs and couches and stuff. And it's so hard to get in that I finally got in to go see Vertigo. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go see a classic Hitchcock movie. And I'd never seen it before. And hated every second of it. Like thought it was like the direction is, if it wasn't Hitchcock directing it, it would be the worst movie of all time. It didn't make a fucking lick of sense. It's like,
People love Vertigo, though.
I think they're thinking of North by Northwest or his other movies, but Vertigo, it was absolutely terrible. I really hated it. And then
maybe it was just the mood, though. I do find, like, whatever stage in life you are, or even just what mood you're in that night, can incredibly affect, like, your impression of a movie or a book. Like, if you read it at a certain time of life, maybe you just seem a little. You know, the cold's coming on. Hadn't had any substances in a while.
This is the tail end of the cold. Like, I felt better last night than I do today. Sunday was the worst. But no, I was like, and my friend who I went to go see it with, we talked to him. We were like, yeah, this is terrible. Like, every character is just an idiot, kind of. And the fact that it's like, every character is just so stupid. I don't even want to get into it. But the end, I was just like, that's the whole movie. It's the worst Hitchcock movie I've ever seen. And I love Hitchcock movies, even though I've only seen half of them. But yeah, I couldn't believe how much I hated it. But the screening room was amazing that I can't wait to see something else there. It's fun to see classic movies in a setting like that because you have to pay attention. It's so easy to get bored. Because of the pace of classic movies is much different than we're used to today. That being in a screening room, we got to like pay attention and look at the screen was fun. But yeah, don't see Vertigo.
What
see.
Is your favorite Hitchcock movie?
I mean, you can't fuck with Psycho. That's pretty amazing. And
Rear Window.
Rear Window, yes. Those are the two best ones. And honestly, when I saw Vertigo, I thought I was about to see North by Northwest, which I have not seen either. And I think I would have liked that a lot more.
Rear Window famously playing at like the gay porn theater that near the apartment that we lived at a couple years ago, or when we first moved in.
The Tomcat.
Studs.
Yes. And I didn't really, I didn't put it all together. We both, or you didn't put
we
it
thought,
all together.
We both were like, oh, I guess they play regular movies too. And someone was like, no, man, that is.
Should have figured that out.
Yeah. But it seemed like something.
Wait, it wasn't Rear Window? It was like.
It was a movie yeah. called Rear Window. Get it? But it was not.
I mean, we didn't go. We just saw it on the.
We sat through half of it and we're like, wait a second. This is totally. Where's Jimmy Stewart? What's going on here? Yeah, that was my week. Not so eventful. Things are about to kick off. I go into work tomorrow. I have my first day of work in the office for Good Talk Season 2, which I'm excited about. Even though I didn't know that I was going in, like, I got an email Monday from our line producer.
Even though it's your show.
Mm-hmm. I got an email from our line producer saying, like, hey, we're putting in the office furniture on Tuesday. Do you want to come in and check it all out so you're like, you can approve it? And I was like, no. Like, I don't. I know where the writer's room is. I know where my office is. And you can set up everything and it'll be fine. And then she's like, all right, great. See you Wednesday. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I thought we were starting Monday. And she's like, no, you said you wanted to bring in like half the staff on Wednesday and get things started. So when the writers come in on Monday, then we have everything ready to go, which I'm like, yeah, it sounds like something I would have said and then forgotten about.
I feel like that happens a lot with you and in life in general, you making plans that like the future you somewhat forgets about.
Not really. I mean, I'm usually pretty good at putting things in my calendar and doing plans. But when it comes to like the show, we talk about things and then weeks later, like when you're the star and executive producer of a show, people do what you say.
That's what I'm saying.
Whenever you say it. Like, so I'll be like, oh, I want this. Like, I used to, on the Jessel Nick offensive, I used to say, like, yeah, let's get me like a sombrero made out of meat. And then like the next day it shows up and I was like, oh, I was just talking. Like, no one was like, hey, are you sure you want this? But I'm glad that I have, our friend Emma VP, who was once a producer on this podcast when Erica had to go,
one of our best shows. Yeah.
Go do something else, but it'll be just her and I. And I've thought of ideas throughout the, like, since the last season ended that I'll have her put down. And kind of put things up on the board so that things are ready. Mm. But it'll be a low key end of the week work wise.
Mm.
And then tomorrow night, I'm taking you out and your wife for your birthday to my favorite sushi restaurant in Los Angeles.
I'm excited about that.
You've never been?
No.
No. We're in for a treat.
It's been it's been a big week. We I'm just embracing, like, Emeka once pointed out, she thought my family, the Rosenthals that I grew up with in Massachusetts, were very, like, wholesome compared to just what she knew or her family or whatever. And I thought that was funny at first, like, because I would have never have thought of my background as, like, overly wholesome. You know, we got a pretty large sprinkling of mental illness and different parts of the family aren't getting along.
You've got a musician in your family.
Yeah. we got a lot. But going through the decades, and you know, there was a lot of drama as a kid. But I see what she means now. But nothing matches, I think, what I'm now bringing to the table in terms of wholesomeness. Like, if you just tick off the things we did during this weekend, we dropped our kids off, like, at a youth ministry. We went to mini golf for the first time. Ever.
But you're not a religious person. You dropped them off. You, like, took advantage of their religiousness and just dropped them off there. So it's almost, that's not wholesome. If you were part of the church, that would be wholesome.
Well, and then we went and had, you know, a nice dinner and walked around. But yeah, we're not part of the church. We got 3 months left of payment to this preschool. And then we out after 6 years. We bought Ellis a bike. You know, we went to In-N-Out. We rode that bike around. We took a train down to the public library and hung out there a lot on Sunday. That's like Ellis's favorite thing to do. It's about as wholesome as it gets.
Have you given Ellis my Kindle yet? The Kindle?
We have not set it up for her yet.
But does she know that she has it?
No, not yet.
I don't know why I give it.
I mean, I'll do it.
I should have given it to her directly. Like, you're going to
All right, well, I'll give it tomorrow. I mean, because we have to, like, sign up for an account and tell her how to use it and stuff. The bike was a priority. That's working out. Pretty well. I did see a story. I know this isn't part of news, but the fact that we hung out at the LA Public Library, which is amazing, by the way, if you're in Los Angeles, like the kids' library there is incredible.
I hang out there all the time.
a big story came up today, so it's too late to sneak into our headlines since we really get out ahead of these things, that that people in Santa Monica are outraged that a library that we go to fairly often was used by an adult film star to film a pretty long scene for a porn that they put on Pornhub, like during open library hours, just like in the corner while no one was watching.
Like
at the Santa Monica Ocean Park library. It's now like national news.
So they didn't have permission. They just like went in. And,
no,
like,
they did this whole thing where she like walked around and it apparently, you know, the video was down before I could check it out, and I would have checked it out. I want to see what's going on in the library.
I don't have a problem with it.
They've pulled it down. She did something apparently at the around the middle school that's right around the corner, like outside of it, and then like walking naked through town and then doing some sort of sex act. They didn't specify inside the library during open hours.
I bet she was just doing it for the attention, if I had to guess. Yeah, that all sounds good. And I think I might know the video you're talking about, not from hearing the news story, but from scrolling through Pornhub one day. And I believe it was a solo act. I'll say that.
Wow, you just happened to know. Yeah, it was the performer's name was, I believe, Ellie Eilish.
I don't know.
You know, like a Billie Eilish takeoff there. There you go. Giving her some.
I mean, how many pornos are done in libraries, though? Maybe you just saw a different one.
It's possible. I think it was like a front page, but I think it like I didn't like click on it, but the headline was like
scandal.
Was like sneaks through library, and it could have been fake, but I believe that we're thinking of the same thing because it was like one of the number one videos on Pornhub. So it's like if you go to Pornhub, it's the first thing you see. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I have, I've got my search terms. I've got my tastes. I've got my recommended for you category. that was not a part of, but it was one of like you have to scroll down past like the most watched, which is fun to just, you know, I glance at the headlines. You know, I don't read the whole New York Times, but I know the major headlines of the day, and I compare those two, well. And now let's get to, did we get any notes?
A hard transition.
That sounds like a real song.
The album today was Retro Rewind.
But it sounds like a real old song. Like it sounds like a cover of something from back in the day. I'm with it. Did we get any notes? No, not really. But I will say this. Sarah Babinow, the new our new boss here at Comedy Central, who I've become friendly with in a professional way, was like, oh, I'll listen to the podcast because I thought it was about football before. I'm going to start listening. And then listened and was like, joked with me like, oh, the one I listened to was all about football. Because it's after the Super Bowl. And then I talked about that during Did We Get Any Notes? And then she told my manager that she's going to stop listening to it because every time she talks to me, I put it in Did We Get Any Notes? So, once again, this podcast is probably hurting my relationship with Comedy Central more than it's putting money in my pocket. But now, we don't have to worry about Sarah Babinow listening. She's like, she didn't tell me to stop talking about it. She's going to stop listening to it because she said, quote, I talk a lot. And I'm sure she means about network business. But that's fine. That's why I did we get any notes, so that people from Comedy Central leave me alone.
I mean, it's pretty much the lesson that every Comedy Central executive, and even going back to the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project.
RJVP.
days. What professionalism by Anthony there. He was drinking water and stopped mid-drink to
I always get it right. You mess up. You mess up half
to get it. You know, back in the day, the NFL executives learned, don't talk to Anthony. And the Comedy Central executives, most of whom have seemingly been fired since, also learned, don't talk to Anthony or else he's going to air your dirty laundry. And here we are, episode 61. That means 9 left until season 2 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Is up, and who knows? Usually both of our first two seasons have ended with a lot of drama between you and and the executives. So what can we do to top it?
I don't think there'll be any drama. I know what Comedy Central's got coming down the pipe podcast-wise, and they need us like a life preserver in the middle of the ocean.
Maybe a better conversation. Go ahead.
Sorry. If they try to cut our budget, that's going to be a no on season three. So we'll see. I think people are commenting a lot, and the podcast is just growing in numbers. I think that's going to be helpful. But who knows?
We should get that straightened out.
who's we?
We're getting close. Yeah. I'm just saying we're at that point now. 9 episodes left. That's only a couple, 2.5 months or so. We will be skipping a few weeks, including next week, a little housekeeping that Erica, our producer, who's been chiming in, and I will be in Indianapolis for the NFL scouting combine next week as Anthony yawns on the mic. We'll be out next week.
Not that the combine's not exciting, but yeah, we get the week off. I would have loved to have this week off and then come back next week, but nope. We're here this week, and we go off next week for the combine. I will not be going. I'm going to take this year off from watching people jump as high as they can, everyone as fast as they can, and complain about the shoulders. I think it's do you ever like get to sit in on when they do the intelligence tests?
No.
I think those are no. What do they call it?
The Wunderlich.
The Wunderlich test is always really funny to me. So that's the beginning notes. And again, I think last year, too, I don't think we got a word of season two before the end of season one, did we?
No, we were at Clusterfest, which was the Comedy Central live comedy festival, and podcasting was there. And when we taped there, we didn't know if there was going to be a season three.
Yeah. And I assume this season will be no different, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'll try to push it through. But that was, did we get any notes? And now let's take it down to something where we'd love to talk and we'd love to hear what's going on. Let's take it down to a lovely little place called Erica's Corner. Erica Tamposi is our producer. Sometimes doesn't always obey the 5-second rule on songs. Per usual, she likes to bend the rules and then deny that she bent them in any way whatsoever. We like her. She's spunky. She's young for now. She's getting older every year. You know, she's 27 now. 28 now. Thank you. And but we still enjoy hearing from her and within reason. She wanted to talk about her Valentine's Day, and we said no. But she does get her own corner to talk about whatever she wants, ask us a question. And now we've started incorporating listener comments from iTunes, which I'm still not sure is a good idea or not.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
And we didn't tell her not to talk. You told her not to talk about Valentine's Day, but I supported you.
Yeah, you did not fight me on it. You didn't even give me
my
even
text
me
every
look.
Week is always like, they're so mean to me. I'm so fucking done with this. And then you guys are like, we hate you.
We don't hate you.
Your text to who?
My mom.
So you're texting about us to your mom that you hate us?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the commenters.
Oh, no, them too.
I remember in the beginning of the Justin Lick and Rosenthal Vanity Project, Jeremy
Junior Vice President.
One day Erica was like, I don't know if someone was like commenting, but like, you seem like you're being mean to Erica. And I said, am I nicer to Erica than I am to Greg? And they were like, oh, yeah. Okay, you're just a dick. So I think we love Erica, and so we'd like to let her carve out this corner for herself called Erica's Corner. Erica, what do you have for us this week?
Okay, so we have a fan email from Nick S.
Nick S, and what's the email address again?
It is jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com.
Great.
Nick S, I recently got the mic pulled on an open mic I've been doing for over a year for this joke. # sex so loud that was trending on Twitter this weekend. So I said, sex so loud that my girlfriend didn't like my # sex so loud that I woke her up. I thought this was kind of bush league, and it's a comic only for the most part open mic that I've been going to for a while. I wanted to get your thoughts. Have you ever been kicked off early for a joke or something similar?
Never. That's never happened to me. I've definitely had people be like I've had audiences turn on me for sure. But at an open mic, like, you're at the mercy of the open mic. You should just be grateful that someone's even letting an open mic go on in their venue, because open mics aren't fun, especially all comic open mics, that you kind of have to do what they want. And sometimes the owner is in a bad mood. Like, I've seen people get upset. Like, I remember one comic was doing like an anti-French bit. Like, it was during that time when we were talking about like freedom fries and bullshit like that. And he was talking about the French, and the owner of the coffee house was a French Canadian, and was like, that's enough. Just get out of here. And the guy was like mad that he was like violating his freedom of speech. And it was like, no, it's an open mic. Like once you get into real clubs and theaters and stuff, then it's like that can be a problem that you should address. Like that, I don't think that's cool for a comedy club to get mad. But an open mic, you kind of have to deal with it. And sometimes it's like it's not what you did. It's like five guys before you have been doing the same exact kind of thing. Mm. And people get mad. And an open mic, you kind of have to just swallow it and deal with it. So I hope that helps in some way. Just try to get through open mics as quickly as you can and move on. But when you do an open mic, just be grateful that it exists, because a lot of places, a lot of cities don't have places where young comics can get up and be bad at comedy.
Mm. What was your thought about the joke? I mean, Erica didn't.
I really butchered it.
Didn't do him any favors, but with the delivery.
My girlfriend didn't like my sex so loud that I woke her up.
Didn't really understand it. It kind of zoned out when you told me you were going to tell me a joke. It doesn't really matter what the joke was. It's just I don't have a problem with it, but I can see someone in an open mic being like, "Oh, that's not cool." And when you're on the edge like that, it sounds like the open mic overreacted. But what choice do you have? You know, try to go back and don't do that joke there again. But if you want to keep doing the joke, I'm not going to stop you, Nick S.
All right, comment of the week. 2 stars. Anthony is an oblivious narcissist.
Wait, a listener gave us 2 stars out of 5. That's an aggressive move. It's worse than 3 stars. We were baffled last week by a 3-star review. This week we get 2 stars, so it's someone who's mad.
If you guys comment and you listen to the show and you give us less than 5 stars, we don't need you. We don't need you in our lives.
Yeah, we
get out of here.
Even 4 stars is a thumb in the eye.
Have people been, leaving more reviews since we've been talking about this? Probably.
Yeah.
But I think people confuse reviews with, like, an email. Like, I bet what you're about to read to me sounds like it should have been an email, and so they're leaving a comment. Go ahead.
For sure. From Drew B. LOL at Jesselnick saying...
First, let me stop you right now. Drew B., use your name. If you want to be anonymous, okay. I'm gonna take it a little bit less seriously. Go ahead.
LOL at Jesselnick saying that he tries to avoid trashing other comics. He does this every time there is a controversy. Louis, Shane, now Ari. In the Shane case, it was even clear that he didn't get what happened and had just heard an out-of-context clip. In reality, Shane was making fun of racists, but it was clipped in a misleading way, which makes Jesselnick about as intelligent as someone who watches cable news. I didn't find Ari's edgelord tweet to be funny, but caring so much about it that you trash someone on your podcast is kind of lame. The cancel culture discussion is played out, and when Anthony feels the need to opine about someone's mean words on Twitter, he reminds me of J.K. Rowling in her mansion tweeting about trans people. Why do you care? Isn't it petty to waste your energy on this non-issue, as well as that of your listeners? Props to him for admitting that he likes to see his colleagues go down, though. At least he's honest about being petty. That is sincerely alpha. Mm. 2 stars because Erica is cool and the book reviews are solid.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask you to repeat some of these questions, part of it. One, I said I don't like to trash other comics. It's one of my favorite things to do in the world, and one of the reasons I got into comedy. My comic friends and I trash other comics nonstop. I'm sure I've talked more shit about comedians to Greg than just about anything else publicly. No, I don't like to throw someone under the bus all that often, but these cases you have mentioned... Louis C.K., I haven't really trashed Louis C.K. I haven't supported him. I don't feel a need to support Louis C.K. He's doing fine. Ari Shaffir, Shane Gillis, I talked about those because I was mentioned in the pieces about them. If you use my name, if my name's brought up in an article in the New York Times about it as someone like fellow controversial or someone who does dark comedy, then I feel like I'm going to go ahead and say I'm the authority on dark and edgy comedy. Mm. And I'll always have to speak out about that. And if I'm asked a direct question, then I never shy away from it. I will answer that question, even if I have to trash a comic to answer it. And talking about Shane Gillis being out of context, tell me what context the racial slurs were in that makes it okay. I'm against them across the board, and I'm not that familiar with the case, but anyone using racial slurs on their podcast, I have a podcast. I don't use racial slurs. I'm edgier than him, so I'm happy to do that. And as far as Ari Shaffir, why does everyone need my support? Why do fans of these people need me to like back them up? Why can't I just have my opinion? And this is a podcast where I give my opinion on several things. And oftentimes I'm asked about it. So I'm being completely honest. Am I like J.K. Rowling tweeting from a mansion? Absolutely. That's a compliment. cancel culture? I don't care. Like, I truly do not care. I've been a victim of cancel culture. Does it go too far at times? Of course. But sometimes it's fun to watch someone lose something. And in the case of Ari, he certainly deserved what he got and then some. And he didn't really lose all that much, and nothing that he can't get back.
Are you Shane concerned Gillis is still at performing all that this is the comment Erica chose? You know, you didn't need to amplify this necessarily.
I would say from now on we'll stop doing troll comments, but and make this an email. If you want to email me and question why I talk about what I talk about, or say that I'm wrong for giving my opinion on certain things, then that's an email. But to leave a comment and give our podcast lower stars because you want to defend Ari Shaffir, we don't need to read those. But I was happy to answer this one. Did I answer everything in that? Comment, or did I miss?
Yeah,
anything?
I mean, he did sort of end it with "That is sincerely Alpha." So it's like, why are you gonna like talk shit?
Listen, I'm an alpha in comedy, and if anybody wants to come and if any other comic wants to challenge me, if Ari Shaffir, Shane Gillis, Louis C.K. want to talk to me about this, I'm happy to engage. And you know what? I'll say this: I've never said anything on this podcast. I've never said anything in the interview that I would not say to their faces, not once. Mm. And a lot of times, I'm asked about these things. And I'm going to say it. But if, like, the Ari Shaffir thing, I was, like, the article about Ari Shaffir mentions my name several times, that we do similar things. And I'm here to tell you that we don't. So in that case, it's almost my duty to comment on it. And you're just mad that I'm not on your side. And as far as cable news goes, yeah, I do watch Fox News 23 hours a day. And, yeah, that's why I'm sick. But I think that Fox News has some good stuff. Does it get a little repetitive if you do it 23 hours during the day? Yeah, but I love it. You can kind of fall asleep during Fox News, and like if you can sleep with your eyes open, you don't miss that much. You know what I mean? But I do love Fox cable news. Mm. I think as we all do. I think if you listen to me on this podcast, you know, and you know anything about J.K. Rowling, you know that we. Talk about trans issues while we watch Fox News in our mansions.
it's like my 5-year-old son's therapist once said to me, "You got to let him know who's the alpha."
it's your wife. yeah, I'm an alpha in comedy for sure. Maybe not the alpha, but I'm an alpha, and I can comment on whatever I want. I've been doing this almost 18 years. I'm a vet, and my opinion holds more weight than an anonymous comedy fan. Not even like a comedian, you're a fan who gets upset that not all comedians love each other. We don't. We love to talk trash. If it's petty, then so be it. It's fun petty. Fun petty's fun.
And that's why I read it, because it's like, who the fuck leaves a comment like that on a podcast? It didn't affect our ratings. We're still 5.0, baby, with thousands and thousands of ratings. But it's like, don't be a douche.
Yeah, but again, I'm not mad at this person for bringing this up. I just think it's more of an email than it is a comment. And you can kind of see, you want to talk about petty, leaving a 2-star review and asking questions as opposed to putting it in like a real email. Probably because you don't want your actual name in it. You want to use an initial. Like a coward, then go ahead. If I comment on something on an iTunes thing, not that I ever have, but if I ever did, it comes up as Anthony Jeselnik. Like I put my name in as my name so that you know who did it. And that's the difference between me and Alpha and you, just a petty little bitch. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. That is the worst James Brown impression Roger Goodell has ever done. But if Goodell wants to do a James Brown impression, who's going to stop him? You know, Manfred? I don't think so. Not this week. Now it's time for
ad copy.
The Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
JRVP,
Junior Vice President,
is brought to you by Hims, one of our longest and most loyal sponsors. You've heard us talking about Hims and how they've been helping guys look their best. If you haven't yet, it's time to see what they're all about. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Mine's creeping back a little bit. When once you noticed it, I guess they noticed it, it's already too late. So I know it. Everyone knows it. There's a solution for Hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and a little sexual wellness for men. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. I think it's a man's biggest fear when you say losing hair. There's no bigger fear.
Not erectile dysfunction?
I think it's hair, because everyone can see your hair. Not everyone knows about
you. You can see me functioning.
Your erectile dysfunction. And for Hims.com also takes care of sexual wellness for men. It connects you to real doctors online, which can save you hours. It's confidential and discreet. Answer a few quick questions. A doctor will review, and they determine if it's right for you. Can prescribe medication that's shipped directly to your door. Right now, JRPP listeners can get started with their first month free. Go to 4hims.com/vanity. That's 4hims.com/vanity. Prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Offer valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. Go to 4hims.com to see the full details and important safety information. Remember, that's 4hims.com/vanity. Get your hair fixed.
And that was
ad copy.
Greg, let's get the headlines.
I mean, if 4hims wants to steal that tagline I came up with, get your hair fixed.
Yeah,
just go for it.
For a second, I was like, did he make that up?
Absolutely. Yeah, sorry about that. We're going to talk a little coronavirus at the top here of headlines. I mean,
just because I'm sick?
No, because I threw this in the suggested headlines because I'm just fascinated by this entire month of stories. I'm usually not like that into the news where I'm just like reading story after story. But to me, the coronavirus is like a sci-fi movie come to life. It's happening in real time. I'm almost surprised, and granted, it has a lot of attention. I'm almost surprised there's not more attention going on right now. I mean, China has closed down entire cities the size of Houston. Right now, 760 million people in China, it's half the country, the biggest country in the world, are on some sort of restriction or lockdown in terms of how they can leave their house, what they can do, if they're getting their temperatures taken every day or not. The virus is spreading. I mean, it's a freaking wild...
It's really going to affect the combine next week.
It's a wild story. But we're going to get into it by first talking about the cruise ship passengers that got off a boat in Cambodia. And everyone had been tested on the boat. Many countries had not allowed this cruise ship to disembark on their shores because there were reports that people had the coronavirus on board. And eventually, somehow, the cruise ship convinced the government of Cambodia that they're okay, everything's safe. Everyone got off the boat. And a big mistake happened. You know, someone has the coronavirus. Went to America with it, and it included the story by the New York Times. The quote from a doctor, an infectious disease specialist, that we anticipated glitches, but I have to tell you, I didn't anticipate one of this magnitude. This could be a turning point.
What, just having the cruise ship is going to be the turning point?
Well, basically that they thought they had tested it, everyone getting off these ships. And there's a couple different stories. There's also one that was off the coast of Japan, and they thought everyone was quarantined, and basically they let everyone go home, and then they realize someone has the virus. And then once that one person is just out in the world, you got to try to find them. And it's too late. They've already been contacted with hundreds of other people, and it's impossible to track it down. It's really daunting to control a situation like this now that people have gone all over the world.
I mean, I think that I just thought it was funny that these people had to be stuck on a cruise because one of them might be sick, and everyone's like, wait, so we're all going to get sick now, right? Like, we're all just going to die. The crew is, like, furious. They've got to just be stuck on here without having left the ship in the first place. I think it's crazy that in America, people are very racist to any Asian they see with, like, a cough or a sneeze. Even if they don't, like, someone told me they got picked up by an Uber, by an Asian guy, and the guy was like, thank you for not canceling. Because you see, like, the face come up, and they're like, oh, I don't want to be in a car with an Asian person. That's insane. Hug if you see an Asian person, hug them. They're healthy, they're good. Don't worry about it. My favorite part of the coronavirus thing, because I remember, like, I started comedy when SARS was a big thing, so everyone had their bullshit SARS joke that got hacky immediately. The coronavirus is now, like, kind of surpassed that. I like that when the coronavirus story first broke, the movie Contagion became, like, the number one like rented movie that everyone just wanted to see. This thing happened, and the movie Contagion is very similar to the coronavirus in terms of, like, kind of how it started, how it gets going. I think it was, like, a bat that was bought in a market in China. But, I mean, are you afraid of this? Are you worried about the coronavirus?
I'm not actually that personally afraid of it. I'm more just fascinated. Like, I'm looking – this is, you know, kind of a macabre way to think about it. But, like, there will be a great documentary made about the coronavirus. Like, there, like, it, to me, it is really fascinating. The New York Times, their podcast, The Daily, Anthony's been trying to slowly open a bunch of candies that we got from Japan, which, by the way, might be you might want to worry there.
Japan's not coronavirus adjacent.
They're not, but
they're an island.
They are a little bit, because,
well, shit, you were there.
There was some I wasn't, but the they've, like, canceled our friend. We have a friend, Mike, whose, you know, trip to Japan was canceled because his girlfriend can't run in the Tokyo Marathon. They're not allowing anyone that's not from there to run in it anymore because of the coronavirus. Japan is actually where all these Americans were stuck on a cruise ship right outside of Japan. And they didn't let anyone off that cruise ship either. It sounds like a total nightmare until they put people on a plane back to America. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Japanese candies don't
so
mess
good.
Around.
So good. Even if it's a full virus, the virus is tasty. I just like whenever things get thinned out a little bit. You know what I mean? I feel bad for all the people who've died. The doctors who are dealing with this are heroes. I think China has a lot to answer for in terms of kind of keeping the secret longer than they should have. It's kind of like, you know, you fucked up at the house and you don't want to tell your parents right away. And it's like, you should have just come right away and let them know. I'm trying to find some kind of comedic angle here because Greg really went into detail.
Sorry.
On a very serious note.
I would think that you would find the whole thing interesting.
I think it's taking out the weak. Listen, I got sick and I'm still here doing the podcast. I'm not quarantining anybody. I'm not on a cruise ship kicking up my feet, playing shuffleboard with the coronavirus. Like a lot of people
there's
are.
These stories of these Americans who are on this this ship that was cargoed off of Japan, where America first said, like, stay there, don't go anywhere. But then they brought in a plane to bring everyone back. And then the people on the plane were told, well, we're not going to put anyone with the coronavirus on the plane. And then once they got on the plane, it was too late. Like, the front half were people with the coronavirus, or there was a bunch of people with the coronavirus, and people in the back didn't have it. I mean, can you imagine that? It's, and then they're not even getting to go home. Like couples are been separated. One has to stay in Japan. One's going back to America, and they don't even go home. They just put them on a U.S. Base, like a military base, and they have to stay there for 2 weeks being quarantined.
Any excuse to wear those cool masks I like. I'm a fan of those masks.
The masks are sold out everywhere, and people are saying, like, stop buying those masks unless you really need it.
My favorite is the one of, like, those masks that were made in Wuhan where the virus originated, and they're like, Jesus Christ, like, we're not using these. I'm against the virus. I'll say that. But, in a few months, they'll have some sort of cure or a vaccine, which adults can take. But again, do not vaccinate your children. That's the JRVP way. I'm excited to go to sushi tomorrow night. I wonder if, like, sushi restaurants are like, oh, people don't want to come here because they're worried about the coronavirus. I think it's funny that Apple was like, the coronavirus is going to affect our bottom line, as if anyone gives a fuck about Apple's bottom line right now.
Well, I think, though, it is in, I don't know. I do find it interesting. Like, I think the economic effect of it all, like, China's going into a huge downturn and we're very reliant on China, and, like, it's all,
that's
all
what
happening.
That's what they get for fucking with the NBA. You know what I mean? You want to fuck with the NBA? Coronavirus.
Any chance that the NBA started the coronavirus as a countermeasure?
I mean, I would say 60%.
That maybe it was Daryl Morey who 60% put chance. That, the Houston Rockets GM put that little bat.
I know somebody bought a bat to eat, and you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have bought the bat to eat. Don't eat bats. Now let's get into something a little more dramatic.
I mean, the crunching's terrible. You have chocolate all over your teeth. You clear. If you didn't want to talk coronavirus, you should have just told me before the show.
I didn't. This isn't disrespect. This was like, this looks so good, I want to eat
some. No, I get that. But you weren't that interested in the whole coronavirus thing, which I get.
I thought we were going to like hit it quickly. You were like diving deep as if no one's heard about this yet.
It's fair. I'm just saying. It's wild. Brilliant. With it's wild stuff.
Having a Japanese wife, you are like that much closer and it's that much more personal to you, the coronavirus.
I mean, that is so off-putting, the crunching.
I think
the sound.
I think it makes people want to order whatever the fuck these are. I can't read Japanese. But they're cones. They're like cookie cones with chocolate.
What do they taste like? Chocolate and peanut butter or what's going on?
There's no peanut butter. You want to try one? They're so good.
I'll do it off mic. Let's listen to something more enjoyable, and that is Vernon Davis's appearance on SportsCenter last week.
Vernon Davis just retired. He was, I think, one of the best tight ends of the past 10 years. Number one draft pick at one point. We were definitely first rounder.
Yeah, top 10 pick.
Yeah, he was great. Retired and is now getting into acting. And it was on SportsCenter to talk about what's his next part of his career. And talked about this movie he's got coming out. He's about to make. Play the clip, Erica.
He's one of the leads.
Get ready to be in a movie. Tell us about that project.
Yes, Red Winter. I partnered with a buddy of mine, and we, through Real 85 Productions, Smoot Films, we're doing a movie called Red Winter, which will take place in Denver. We'll be shooting for about 3 weeks, and I'm getting geared up for that.
Give me a line real quick.
Let's pause it real fast
for one of your lines. Like, what?
First of all, Smoot Productions. It's got to be Fred Smoot from the Sex Boat Escapade. And 3 weeks to film a movie. It's not going to be a good movie.
Fred, the Sex Boat Escapade. Do you have any awareness, Erica, of what this was?
No.
This was a story about 15 years ago in the
it's
NFL.
That long?
Yeah, it's so Jesus. Long ago. Maybe not quite. Maybe like 12. But where a bunch of Minnesota Vikings took out a big. Big boat and just had a good old sex party.
There's strippers and other people.
It became a big story.
The person who like chartered the boat was like captain of the boat, took it right back in, kicked them all off, and then it became a big story.
And now also, he runs the a production company.
The movie's called Red Dawn?
Red Winter.
Red Winter, which is a bad name. Go ahead.
I said you to set you up. I want to see this.
Gosh, you put me on the spot, man. That's one of my lines from what? Just the movie?
The movie, yeah. I want to see
it. It's the movie where you're the lead.
Yeah. He's asking him for a line from the movie.
It takes a lot, but I can
Wait a minute. I legitimately, my first reaction was to comfort you.
Yeah, all right, let's.
Now, so they asked, they said, Vernon Davis, give us a line so that you can say your line. It would be like if I was like, Greg, say like knock, knock, so I can say, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. And then Vernon Davis just starts masturbating furiously.
That's not how
oh, really?
I took it. No, no. I thought he was trying to cry. He was trying to show his ability to
cry. So Red Winter, they were like, we need someone. We only got 3 weeks to film this. We need an actor who can cry on command, a sobbing cry, as if he were masturbating. And got Vernon Davis to do it. And Vernon Davis thought, what's the best way to promote this? Let's bring up Fred Smoot. And let's just start sobbing. It's when Greg sent it to me, I was dying laughing. I thought it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I know it made me laugh more than anything. I was really surprised at the reaction, and maybe some people are being kind. I feel like there was a lot of positive reaction. Like, wow, this guy's he's really got it. He's got the acting.
He definitely
jobs.
Committed. He committed to crying. That does not mean he was good at crying.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was really bad. And there were no actual tears. He just like kind of like started kind of pretend sobbing. But to have someone be like, you know, let's see how you can act. Show me what's up. And you go to that right away.
It was kind of amazing, though.
Maybe, though, it's like CTE, and he thought that he was, like, doing a monologue. Maybe he, like, thought, maybe, like, in his head, he was actually, like, doing To Be or Not to Be, and actually just came out as a one long sob.
He, I'm just thinking now, his most famous moment in the NFL, he caught a game-winning touchdown in the playoffs for the 49ers, and then immediately started sobbing, like, uncontrollably. And, like, that's a very famous sort of NFL films clip.
I don't remember.
Maybe
that.
He just likes to cry. Or maybe he was acting then, too.
But it wasn't like a Luke Coakley thing where he got hit so hard he was crying.
No, he, like, won the game, and then he just, like, is immediately bursts out and is sobbing, and everyone, you know, gives him a hug.
Who was the guy who used to cry during the national anthem? And he had, like, like, insane tear ducts that it just looked like he was, like, it looked like just like a hose was coming out of his eyes.
That was, I believe, a story we did once on the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project.
RJVP.
But I don't remember who it was.
And now it's time
for... No Sean Moreno, by the way. Sorry. Yeah, I guess it wasn't worth interrupting you. But I've interrupted you for less stupid things.
This is true. But you're not going to interrupt me during...
Ad copy!
The Jeselnik and Rosenthal Project is brought to you by Manscaped.com. And we got a new ad this week from Manscaped. This is your public service announcement. They wrote it a different way, but I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm gonna class this joint up with some breaking news from Manscaped. After more than 18 months of research and development, the Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. We broke the news last week, maybe the week before, about the 3.0. Now they're finally, like, letting it out into the masses. It's kind of like the coronavirus, where they try to keep it under wraps for a little while, and then they're like, you know what, cat's out of the bag. Mm. Let's just talk about the 3.0. The third-generation Manscaped trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. If you're still using the 2, you know, we can't guarantee your safety now that the 3 is out there. Millions of you are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped Advanced Skin Safe technology. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. You don't have to rush through it like Greg and I have been doing with the 2.0. You can take your time. You got 90 minutes to shave now. And they've upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. That way, Greg and I don't wake each other up when we're trimming. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a rapid charging dock powered by USB. So you can have, like... like it is in my house, where you've got the 3.0 on the charger stand and then pictures of my grandparents on either side. You know what I mean? It's like a memorial and then like a fancy one that I know my grandparents are looking down on me, happy that I have 90 minutes to do this. If you're listening to me speak right now, you're one of the first people to hear about this life-changing project, unless you listened to last week's episode where I broke the news early. And I want you to experience it firsthand yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VANITY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off, free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code VANITY. And that was
ad copy.
All right, let's talk a little more news. I love this one. A bus driver in Newark, New Jersey was fired after abandoning a bus with more than a dozen students still inside. The bus driver halfway... I don't really totally understand the reasoning or why it happened, but halfway through her route, which she later said she was unfamiliar with, wasn't really comfortable with it, which included a lot of special needs students, she went off of the route, drove the bus to her own house, which was a couple towns away, and then just got out of the bus and told some bus attendant, "You got to handle these kids yourself."
This is amazing, and I didn't know the details when I picked this headline, but, like, I'm surprised this doesn't happen every single
right.
day. Like, bus drivers are the most disrespected people, but, like, by children in the world, and that every bus ride is just, like, an assault on their dignity, that I can't believe bus drivers don't just say, like, screw it, drive to their own house and leave the kids out in the cold, and just call someone and be like, you take care of this every day. When I was a kid, like, when I was in Montessori school, I was such a wreck in – not like, I was just such, like, a terror – in a carpool, that my parents had to charter their own bus. Like a bus came and picked just me up and took me to Montessori
what?
School. Yes. They kicked me out of the
why didn't they just pick you up? Like, drive you?
I don't know. I think I have no idea. I think because I had sisters, I had siblings who also went to Montessori, well, no, so yeah, they would tricky. Go with the thing. But I just had a bus come pick me up, and I loved it. I thought it was great. It was just me on this bus. I've gotten in some trouble on buses several times, but all the bus drivers could have easily left, and I would not have blamed them. And what did they get punished for this? This must be illegal.
Yes, they might be pressing charges. You know, the school immediately blamed it on, you know, the bus company that's like a third party, and immediately fired that bus company. The bus driver was found to have been driving with a suspended license, which was a fun little twist. There's a lot of fun twists. My favorite, I think, is that they picked up all the kids, and there was, I think, 14 of them left on the bus, and then just brought them to the police station. So everyone had to, you know, because I don't know what you do in this sort of situation. They took the police, picked them up, and then brought them to a nearby precinct. And so that's where the parents had to get you know, 11-year-old Angie from the slammer.
I don't believe the parents would even blame the bus driver, but they're like, yep, she finally snapped. Like, she finally got it.
Well, the part I don't get, I want to know what happened on that day. So it's, first of all, she says it was a new route and she was unfamiliar, and maybe she was getting frustrated and tired.
You got to look at a map. And in these days, you can't say you're unfamiliar when you've got GPS.
So, but I don't get why she dropped off half the kids, and then she was just like, F it. I'm going to drive home and stop it halfway through. What happened halfway through?
I guarantee those kids were driving her nuts, singing songs, probably threw something at her. I guarantee someone hit her with something.
And everyone's just kind of like looking for their kids.
Yeah. It's a great story. I think more bus drivers should pull this stuff. Drive to your house.
I want to
take the bus and drive to your own house.
I wish well, it depends. Maybe we'll move. If we don't move, I think we need to move at some point to get an extra bedroom in our place. Because right now you can walk. Santa Monica is so densely packed that you just walk, you know, you always just walk. There's no buses because everyone, unless you're kind of like a kid that comes from out of the, you know, you can walk to your school. It's too close. They're missing out on that bus experience.
So you want them to be on? You want them to experience?
Yeah, that's
the bus
kind of
experience.
A classic kid experience. Apparently,
I don't know. I think it's. I would love to have never had to have ridden a school bus as a kid. It's like, do you go to the back of the bus? Who do you sit next to? It's a weird. It's a weird thing. A lot of bullying takes place on buses. A lot of weird shit goes on those buses. That yeah, you don't want your kids dealing with that. Mm. Stay in your house. Keep everyone in that one bedroom. And just let things happen.
That PSA was brought to you by Anthony Jeselnik.
Let's get to our last headline.
That was Jeremy Renner. Great to hear from him.
That was a Renner. Was that an original Renner? Or was that a remake? What do you call it? A cover?
Cover,
yeah.
You really are feeling sick here.
I'm not feeling great. It's getting worse.
Well, you know what's going to get better? We're at the home stretch.
This is like I haven't, I've been sick and I haven't thrown up at all. Like I haven't, it's not like that kind of virus, but this last story might make me puke right now.
Really?
Yeah, I'm so disgusted.
I am too. Papa John, one of our heroes, admitted recently in a podcast that his famous quote, which we talked about quite a bit on this podcast, that he had over 40 pizzas in 30 days wasn't really true.
Why, Papa? Papa, why did you lie?
He says, when I said I had pizza, that means I'm inspecting. I'm not eating every pizza. I may be eating parts of the pizza. So just like, you know, a slice.
He's still claiming he got 40 pizzas in 30 days. But sometimes he just like would lift up the cheese and was like, all right.
He's saying he just maybe had a bite or two to sample the pizza, not eating 40 whole pizzas. He also, you know, he says in general, he's only eaten about 8 or 9 slices a week. Just, I don't know. That makes me laugh. But that when he was still with the company, he was closer to about 12 to 15 slices a week. I love that this podcast really grilled them and got the facts.
I mean, this is months after he came out and said he's eaten 40 pizzas in 30 days. which is an insane claim. To say 8 or 9 slices a week when you own the company, I don't believe you. Like, if you worked at a Papa John's, you would never eat Papa John's ever. You would go way out of your way to get a Domino's pizza if you could. Why would we trust anything Papa says? Mm. You know what I mean? Why would we trust anything he does after this?
I mean, if you can't trust Papa John, who can you trust?
Literally no one. Like, he was the last guy. And then he used a racial slur, like Shane Gillis, and kind of went down a level with me. But this 40 pizzas in 30 days, that's like something Jesus would do. He's comparing himself to Jesus walking through the desert eating 40 pizzas, which I think is how the story goes. And he's tempted by the devil to do it in 30 days. And he says, I will not lie about this. So is Papa John's the opposite of Jesus? Does that make him the devil? I think so.
I mean, it's got to hurt being, you know, so high.
What
up.
Podcast was this on? Like, why is Papa... Who invites Papa John on their podcast?
I mean, yes. We've never had a guest on this podcast.
We had your mom on.
We've never had, like, a public figure type guest on this podcast. I think we would break that rule if Papa John wanted to come on. Wouldn't you?
I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd never invite him on, but if we showed up here and he was just sitting in the studio...
So if Erica surprised you with the Papa John...
Erica's as confused as we are.
Okay.
He's just in here... I think we'd have to let him sit and ask him how many pizzas he's eaten and go, you know, slice it up for his papa.
Like something
per week. How many slices per week?
Something called the H3 podcast, which judging by how many people watch it, is apparently incredibly popular.
How do you think Peyton Manning feels about all this? You think Peyton's just like crying into his pillow?
He feels wronged. I think he feels... like he bought a bill of goods. Mm-hmm. He was sold a bill of goods.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do with the bill of goods. They sell
them. They sell them. And he bought it.
I like that he can't give it up, though. Like, even though there's really no... Like, he's not in the pizza business anymore.
No.
Still 8 to 9 slices. That's actually a lot of slices a week, even though it's underwhelming compared to what he said he was doing. I mean, that's 30. That's a solid 40 slices a month. That feels like a, feels
okay,
like a
let's
lot.
Say, Greg, let's say you're walking down a hallway.
How big are these slices?
You're walking down a hallway. You see Papa John's eating a slice of pizza. Do you avoid him? Do you ask him what number that is? Are you like, Papa, how is that?
I smash it in his face.
You do?
Yeah.
For the racial slur?
Yeah.
You haven't gotten over that?
For him dragging Colonel Sanders in the mud. Do you know how it happened? I never realized.
Colonel Sanders definitely also used racial slurs.
Well, apparently it was him, yeah, quoting Colonel Sanders in this business call. I never knew the details until I was reading about this latest Papa John's, and that the Colonel Sanders family released a statement and sued him for dragging racist Colonel Sanders through the mud.
No one would ever believe Colonel Sanders would use a would use a racial slur.
No, I try to. I once ate Papa John's pizza at the NFL. It was like, you know, they feed us on Sundays because we're there all day. And one Sunday they had Papa John's, and that was it. That was a one time thing.
Really?
And I was like, I'm never gonna have Papa John's again. I'm also gonna start bringing my own food on Sundays as a backup in case they order Papa John's. Eventually they stopped. But yeah, you got to avoid it. You got to avoid Papa John's.
When I was in high school, Papa John's was like the new, it was like better than Domino's, better than Pizza Hut. We were really into Papa John's for a few years. And then in college, it all went away.
Yeah, I ate like a ton of Taco Bell in high school too. And maybe now it might be a fun guilty pleasure once, but your tastes change. You move on.
What would you do if after the Super Bowl, if Patrick Mahomes wins the Super Bowl and he turns around and Colonel Sanders back from the dead hugs him? Would you have been surprised?
I would have. I mean, nothing could replace Peyton Manning and Papa John at midfield. It really would be a funny like 30 for 30. Sure.
I think I want to know if someone, if a JRVP listener has a tattoo of Papa John and Peyton Manning hugging post Super Bowl. I think that's the best tattoo you could get. Send us a picture to JRVPJuniorVicePresident@gmail.com. And now let's take it down to
choo-choo
recommendation station. Greg, what do you got?
I'm going to recommend a book. It's called Priest Daddy by Patricia Lockwood. That's Priest Daddy. And one word. It's a memoir. I kind of decided I wanted to read some more memoirs this year just because I never really have. Just like go in on a little memoir kick, you know, sprinkle sprinkle them in. It was on the top 50 memoirs of all time by the New York Times, which is a list they came out last year, and it sounded like something I would like. It's from 2017. It's about a poet and a writer who moves back in with her priest father for about a year and a half with her husband, or maybe even a little less, when she's like 28, 29, and kind of out of money, essentially. And it is very funny. He's a priest and he has kids because he was a Lutheran priest and you're allowed to have kids. And then he converted. And when you do that, apparently you can just like, you know, send some like apply officially for permission from the Pope or whoever decides that stuff. And so you can be a priest daddy. And the character of her father, whose name is Greg Lockwood, is just like an unbelievable character, which I saw one review kind of compared him to look at Anthony. I'm losing Anthony. I should just wrap it up right now.
I'm talking too much about
it's the book. It's very funny. Like
give me the author and the name of the book.
Patricia again. Lockwood and Priest Daddy. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard for books to be genuinely funny. And she's like a hilarious writer. It's very profane and kind of raunchy, but also like light and like ask good questions of religion and everything. It's great.
Okay. Erica.
I read a book this weekend, or last weekend actually, called At the Water's Edge by Harper Bliss. And it's a kind of easy, you know, I read it in 4 hours. It's like 250 pages. Really quick, and it's about this girl, she's in her 40s, goes through this traumatic event and has to sort of go back and face her family, but then there's a little romance involved in it too. Mm. Which I'm a sucker for those, so it was good.
When did that book come out?
I don't know.
Is it recent or is it old?
2014.
Okay. I read a book this weekend, just came out, I believe, last Tuesday, called The Mercies, M-E-R-C-I-E-S, by Kieran Millwood Hargrave. It takes place in the 1600s. It's about a fishing village where they're on this island. They're all fishermen and their wives, and there's a storm that comes out of nowhere and kills almost every man on the island. Every man on the island's in these boats and he gets killed. And so the town has to like kind of like survive with just women running everything. And then a guy comes in who's going to be like the governor. He's appointed by the king or whatever, and comes in with his new bride to kind of overlook the place. And he's hunting for witches. So it's like about not the Salem witch trials, but like witch trials during the 1600s on a village of all women who have learned to be independent and take care of themselves. And it's a pretty badass book. The New York Times gave it a great review, and I really enjoyed reading it. I'd say 350 pages, but just came out last week, and a great read, great book, and has a lot of parallels to what's going on right now in this clusterfuck of a world. What? Again, that's The Mercies by Kieran Millwood Hargrave. Check it out, and again, support your local bookstore. And now it's time for our new sign-off. Same sign-off as the old one, but we've switched up kids. It's no longer Ellis, my goddaughter, and Greg's daughter. Now it is my beautiful niece, Paige, helping us out. So Paige, 2.5-year-old Paige, get us out of here.
Oh, knife for a toddler.
That's a spicy meatball.
Thank you, Paige.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.